Well, I appreciate interest in your prayers and your attention. You know, sometimes these messages go out on the web. So we pray the Lord to bless those efforts if they find their way out there in their homes and vehicles of people. We ask the Lord to be with them and to bless them and to honor the effort that's put forth in trying to spread the gospel that way. I don't know what circumstance you find yourself in today. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what things you might have that you are feeling a struggle with. But I know that the Lord is one that cares, and He knows your circumstance, and He is fully capable of guiding and directing the affairs of your life. He has a purpose in everything He does. I'd like to turn to a scripture in the book of Psalms, 4th chapter, 1st verse. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. David was one that knew distress. A little subheading in my Bible said, David prays for audience to the chief magician on Neganoth, a psalm of David. David apparently wrote this psalm, and he is asking God for some strength and for some help. And he is saying that you enlarged me when I was in distress. Being enlarged here isn't talking about cube space. When I worked as a delivery driver for United Parcel Service, that was a common term, cube space, because they were always trying to see how many boxes would fit inside of a vehicle and how many pieces per hour would run down the belt line and how much capacity you could get out of everything, man, woman, and machine. So this isn't talking about cube space, more cubic feet or inches or girth or anything like that. What it's talking about here is when I was in a place of trouble, when I had a problem, I called on you. And in my distress and in that problem and in that situation, you use that to my advantage. How many times the Lord will try to use circumstances and help us to gain the advantage in it? I don't think that anything happens that's by chance. I read in the book of Exodus, I believe it is, where the Lord gave command to Moses on the construction of the ark and the tabernacle, the articles in it, and He gave instruction concerning the mercy seat. He said, told him how to build the mercy seat. He told him how to construct it, the dimensions, all of those things, and He told him about the cherubim above the mercy seat. He said they were to be facing each other, their wings were to touch overhead, and the tips of their wings were to, if I'm not mistaken, touch the walls on the outside or the curtains on the inner curtain on the outside of that room. And the word cherubim comes from two Hebrew words, ki rab, which means like to or like as God. These cherubims were to be representatives of God. And He told Moses, I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. If we put ourselves at the mercy of God and we commune with God from the mercy seat, if you will, there is not one thing that God allows to come my way or that comes my way except God has allowed it to be so. And God doesn't shoot blanks. He's not interested in just filling time. Everything that God does is ordered and supposed to be arranged in a way that if I will make the most of it, it will help me It will propel me. It will cause me to be enlarged. It will cause me to get closer to Him. So David said, when I was in distress, You enlarged me. You increased me. You made me different. You made me bigger. You made me better. So today, with that backdrop, I'd like for us to think about a character in the Scriptures that to me was a mighty man. This man is Joseph. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of information about this young man, Joseph. Genesis chapters 40 and 41. But back up a little bit to the 37th chapter, and we'll read a few scriptures here. But Joseph, in the second verse of Genesis 37, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. So at age 17, Joseph, tending the sheep with his brethren, he has something to share with them. Fifth verse, he says, Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Oh, the reason they hated him yet the more is because they were jealous of him. Yes. His father had made him a coat of many colors. And his brethren said one time, our father never made us coats of many colors. So when Joseph had this dream and he told them the dream, here it was. He said to them, here I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. Remember, he's 17 years old. We were binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, we're not going to have any of this. Are you going to reign over us? Here we go, Joseph. You dreamer. We're out in the field and we're having a conversation here, and you're telling us about these dreams you've had. And it seems like any time that something comes up with you, that you're superior here. Dad made you a coat of many colors, and we didn't get one of those. And now we're having to listen to this dream you said, where we're out in the field binding up sheaves in your dream, and my sheaf, yours, stood upright, and we all made a circle around yours, and we bowed down to you. Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream. Told him his brethren and said, I've dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father. His father rebuked him and said, This isn't the way it works, Joseph. Are we all going to be bowing down to you? Me, your mother, and all your brothers? It's something about youthful zeal that's hard sometimes to understand and has to be reined in a little bit. I've been young. And I remember having some youthful zeal, and it wasn't tempered with knowledge. Perhaps that's how they felt about Joseph. Yeah. Oh yeah, Joseph, here we go again. You've got these dreams. And Joseph, you've carried it to a little bit of an extreme here, because now you say that mom and dad are going to bow down to you. That they're going to, and I don't know how Joseph looked at all of this. I don't know how he handled his affairs. It is possible that Joseph put on a little bit of an arrogant airs. He had a coat of many colors. He's the only one of the brethren that did. Maybe they thought that Joseph was a spoiled brat. They didn't like him. You know what they did to him? They were out in the field, and Joseph comes along, and they said, here comes the dreamer. Let's do something about that. They threw him in a pit, stripped him of his coat, sold him, sent him down to the Midianites, and sent him down to Egypt. While he was there in Egypt, you know the different things that took place in his life. He became a servant in Potiphar's house. The 41st chapter of Genesis, verse 46, tells us that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. There's some time frame that lapsed here. There are things that we're not real sure about everything that took place in his life. But the time that he was there in Potiphar's house, I don't know, he was 17 years old, approximately, because of the time he was sold down into Egypt, into slavery. But he was falsely accused while he was there. You remember the story, how that Potiphar's wife made an accusation against him, and he fled, sent him to prison. I don't know how long he was there in prison. I know the scripture we just read tells us he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Pharaoh had had some dreams. But while Joseph was there in the prison, there were some other gentlemen that showed up that had had cross with Pharaoh. They had dreams. And they told those dreams to Joseph, and he was able to give interpretation of those dreams, and they came to pass. Joseph said to them both, "Remember me. Remember me when you stand before Pharaoh." They forgot. Until the time came that Pharaoh had his dream. Remember the dream about the cows and the corn and all those dreams that Pharaoh had. He couldn't understand those dreams. He was confused about those dreams. Needed someone to interpret those dreams. Couldn't find anyone that could tell him what the dreams meant. But the butler said, "Oh, yes. I remember when I was down there in the prison, there was one that was able to interpret the dreams, one of the Hebrews. He interpreted a dream." So they called on Joseph. At that point is when Joseph came out. We just read the book of Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. That means that there was... how many years? And how many of those was he in Potiphar's house? How many of those were spent in prison? I don't know. We don't know exactly how many years were spent in the jail, nor how long he was in Potiphar's house before he was cast into the prison. The scripture would seem to indicate that the time he was in Potiphar's house was a brief time. And it would seem to indicate that the time that he spent in jail, in the prison, in the dungeon, was a much longer time. So here's a man that was sold into slavery. His brothers hated him. His father loved him. His father was given the story that it's very possible that your son is dead. And here is Joseph now, the dreamer, the man that had these dreams. "My sheaf stood upright, yours bowed down. The sun, moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And this man that had all of these dreams now is down in the foreign land where he's never been before, doesn't know anyone there. He's by himself. He's alone. He has been falsely accused, cast into prison. And the scriptures would seem to indicate that he spent the majority of those 13 years in the dungeon, in the prison. You know, folks, life circumstances can do a lot to change and temper a man. I don't know how much Joseph saw and understood all the things that those dreams meant. I doubt seriously that he knew what it meant. I expect that it was more to him glitz and glimmer. Probably like the flash in the pan. Probably something that was very interesting and looked good and... "These are the dreams that I had, so I'm going to tell you about them, and let's see how far they go." I don't think he understood those dreams. But there came a time There did come a time when he understood what those dreams meant. All right? So, he was 30 years old when Pharaoh said, I need somebody that can manage these affairs. Here's a man that just gave me the interpretation of these dreams. I have no reason to doubt him, though it makes perfect sense to me. We are up here to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So who is one better to put in a place of managing these affairs than this young man that just gave me the interpretation of these dreams? So he put Joseph, second in command in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Joseph is now in the place of gathering all the food that he possibly can, storing it in the bins, any warehouse that he can find a place to store. Joseph stores the food. Seven years of plenty, seven years of famine. But in the time frame, somewhere along in that time frame of the time of the famine, Joseph's family is hungry. And the Lord begins to work out things. I said that God doesn't shoot blanks. He doesn't waste time. He doesn't do things just out of happenstance. He has a purpose for everything that he does. So now here is Joseph in the place in the land of Egypt. And now his father says to his brothers, boys, there's no food here. But I hear that there's corn down in Egypt. So go down to Egypt and buy corn for us. So there's Joseph, second in command, and his brethren come to buy corn. And as the brothers come to buy corn, Joseph looks out at that scene, and here are his brothers. You know how it was. They didn't know who Joseph was, but Joseph recognized them. And I don't know exactly how all of these things worked out, but I do know this, that when he saw his brethren, it touched him. And they asked for food. Joseph could have taken the position that it's my turn now. But rather than doing that, he looked on that scene, and I believe, folks, I believe that the 13 years that he had spent, the majority of that, if you'll give me the liberty, of the majority of that time down in the prison, in the dungeon, that God was able to use that time to change all the gold and the glitter and the glitz of those dreams and put them into a place of reality to where there's got to be something deeper about this. I expect that Joseph had a lot of time to think about things down there. I expect his dad had told him over and over again about the covenant that God made with Abraham, about the covenant that God had made and how he was going to restore his people, how he was going to make of them a mighty nation. And he remembered those stories. No doubt those are the things that kept him while he was there in that foreign land, in a strange land, in a prison house. No doubt those are the things that Joseph held onto. And while he was there, I don't know if he ever had one thought entered his mind that God is going to use me to cause all this, to be an instrument in God's hand to have all this to come to pass. I don't know that he ever felt that way. But now here he is, second in command, second only to Pharaoh, and his brethren come down to buy corn. Yes, sir. You're getting a little bit ahead of me, Brother Lesley. He sent them back. He sent them back with food. And there came a time when Joseph made himself known to his brethren. He couldn't take it anymore. He saw them and he wept. He said, everybody get out of the room. And he cried before God before his brothers. And he revealed himself to his brothers. They, at that point, he knew them, but they did not know who Joseph was, and he revealed himself to his brothers. And you remember their reaction? Now what do we do? Now what do we do? I expect that in that moment, they remembered the dream. I expect that they looked at that situation and they thought, you're Joseph, second in command in Egypt, and we're hungry, and we have no food. Oh, our brothers, he told us about the dream when we were in the field, and his sheaf stood upright, and our sheaves bowed down to him that day, and we said, that's not the way it's going to be, Joseph. You're a dreamer. Get away from here with your dreams. And he said, what about my dad? Is he still alive? Yes, he's still alive. Bring him back. I want him to come back. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they all bow down to Joseph. I don't know. I wonder if all these things, when they came back, if the dreams all came back to their mind and they thought, here we are in this place. His brethren were afraid, as Brother Leslie said. Rightly so. They had every reason to be afraid. But the time that the Lord had used in preparing Joseph while he was down there in that land, those 13 years, whether it was in Potiphar's house the majority of the time or in the prison the majority of the time, the Lord used that time to temper the things that Joseph had in his own mind. Youthful thoughts, youthful zeal. The Lord took that and tempered it. He took the gold, the glitz, the glimmer, the glamour off of it, and he polished it all, that rubbed all of that thing down and got it right down to the base material. He took the gold away and made iron out of what Joseph was. Made him a man that was strong and capable, not flashy, not showy, not full of pride, not full of ambition, but a man that was being used to complete God's plan, to help fulfill a part of the great covenant that God had made with his people. God had every intention of fulfilling that. I don't know why it takes long time for those things. I don't know why, when the children of Israel were down there in Egypt under bondage for 400 years, I don't know why it had to be that way, but God had a plan. He knew, I know one thing, while they were down there in Egypt for 400 years, they grew in numbers and they grew in strength. You remember what the scripture says about those Hebrew women? Pharaoh said, we got a problem. We've got too many. And we've got to get rid of some of these. So I want you to take all, when you go into these Hebrew women and they're having their children, I want you to kill those babies. I want you to kill those babies. They came back to Pharaoh and said, these women aren't like these Egyptian women. But when we go into them, before we ever get there, they've had their children.
We can't find
them. They hide. We don't know how we're going to handle this. The Lord knew how to take care of that situation. Getting back to Joseph. The time came when Joseph was able to see his father come down to Egypt. And he ran. And he met his father. And they wept together. And his father couldn't hardly take it. He couldn't hardly take the stress of the moment. I didn't think I would ever. He told his brother when his brothers came back and they said, Joseph is alive. Those, my sons. No, my sons, don't say such a thing like that to me. I don't think I can take such a thing as that. I once had my son with me, and he's been gone all these years. He took him from me. Please don't tell me that my son is alive and get my hopes up again, only to find out that it's not so. Dad, we've seen him. He's there in Egypt, and he's second in command to Pharaoh, and he's asked us to come back down, and he's going to take care of us. Oh, folks, God has everything God is in control. He knows how to order and ordain circumstances in your life. And I suggest to you today, I don't know what issues you're dealing with in your life, but allow the Lord to use those things to temper you, to transform you, to change you, to make you into something that is useful in His hand, much more useful than you may be now. You might be a tool in His hand that is very valuable to Him and very useful to Him. You may be accomplishing things for the Lord, but all along the way, we spoke yesterday about evolution, about the unrolling and the unfolding of the will of God, how we can't comprehend all of it, and as we go along the way, more and more and more of God begins to open to us, and we find as when I found out, I thought I knew something, I thought I understood, and God opens this page in the book, and I find out that I reel, because I thought I understood, and I find that I didn't understand it nearly like I thought I did. All right. Joseph remembered the dreams. His brethren remembered the dreams. His father remembered the dreams. But there came a time when their father died. He called his boys to him and said, "But I'm leaving here." He breathed his last breath, yielded up the ghost, and his brother said, "Guys, Dad was the only one standing between us and Joseph. Now he'll be able to do exactly what he wanted to do all along. We're in trouble." And they entreated Joseph once again, bowing down. The sheaf that stood upright and the others bowing down, doing obeisance to that sheaf. Joseph at that point could have said, "I am second in command in Egypt. To the dungeon with you guys. Nobody's standing in my way. I had respect to my dad while he was alive, but he's not here anymore. See ya. Oh, I spent my time there. Remember what you did to me? Do you remember when I came to you in the field and you said, 'Here comes the dreamer,' and we put him in the pit and we threw him down there and the camel traders came by and you dragged me out of that pit? You wouldn't even give me a drink of water. You wouldn't even give me a crust of bread. And you pulled me out of that pit and said, 'Hey guys, how much you give me for this fellow?' And you sold me and they sent me down here to this land of Egypt. And I was a long ways away from home. And I cried at night because I missed my home. I didn't have Dad. I didn't have Mom. And you sold me. And I spent all of those years down here. Do you know I spent time in prison? I spent time in prison while you were gone, while I was down here. You sold me. I spent time in prison. Guess what? I'm second in command now." He remembered all of those things. He had the opportunity. Oh, he could have said lots of things. He could have done so much. But God had been working with him in those years. Instead of using those years to build resentment and anger, "Oh, I'm going to get my day. I'll get my day." He used those things to help him to be built into a stronger man. What would read our first scripture? "In my distress, you have enlarged me." In my distress, you made me a bigger man. Not that I stand taller or my chest is wider or my shoulders are broader. I didn't change anything in my human stature, but because of my distress, Lord, you allowed me to be in that place, and in doing so, you have made me a better man. So his brothers said, "Guys, we're in for it now because Dad's gone." He said to his brethren, "You thought evil against me. You thought that you were going to do me harm. But God meant it for good." And not only that, "And to save much people alive," he said. You thought evil against me. You thought you were really doing something. You thought you were getting rid of the dreamer. But God had a purpose in the whole thing. He allowed me to be in this place. Not for me to exact vengeance upon you, but to help fulfill God's commandment and His covenant with our father Abraham. Do you remember what Joseph said when it came time for him to leave this world at 110 years old? He said to his brethren, God will surely visit you.
I die, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this
land. And what else did he say, Brother Leslie?
Unto the land of that where Abraham died and did.
Keep on.
Joseph took an oath to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry out my bones.
Oh.
He died, being 110 years old.
Oh.
And he lived a long time.
110 years. He lived from the time that he was sold into Egypt, 17 years old, to age 110. Was that 93? 93 years. 93 years in the land of Egypt. And he said to his brethren, God will surely visit you. And remember this, men. As you rehearse these stories to your children and your children's children, the story that our father and grandfather told us about the covenant that God made with Abraham, how that he was going to fulfill that and make a mighty nation, will you do this one thing for me? Hand this story down from generation to generation. And when the time comes for you to leave this land, don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. Take my bones with you. God has made a covenant that He's going to bring you out of this place to a land of promise. And I can't see the end of that today, but the Lord allowed me to be an instrument in His hand to save much people alive. And He took away the glitter and the glitz and the glamour and the gold and the flash in the pan of those youthful dreams and the zeal that I had. And He tempered me and He made me a man that had the ability to say, help me, Lord, while I'm down here in this dungeon. Help me to be the man I need to be, Lord. If I can be useful in your kingdom, if I can be useful in your hand, will you use me? And God did. So, when you leave, carry me with you. Don't leave me down here in this land with all these people that worship all these false gods. I want to be where the one true God is, blessing His people. You see, folks, David said in that fourth psalm, first verse, hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. If you've got distress today,
Lord.
Let me say it this way. If you don't have distress today, you will at some point.
Yeah.
If you haven't had distress, you will. You keep serving the Lord, you will have some distress. He wants to use those things to enlarge you, to make you a bigger man, a better man than you are today. Be encouraged. I don't have any expectation that I'll ever do anything as great as Joseph did. But if I can sing that little song that says, brighten the corner where you are. If the Lord will use any one of us to brighten that corner wherever it may be. When you walk into the grocery store, the little, what community you live in, I live in a small community, and walk into the little stores there in our little community of LaRonger, and oh, I tell you, there's days when I go up there and I could spend several hours talking to people before I could ever get back to the house. My wife says, what took you so long? There's people. I meet people in the community that I reconnect with. Mike, we hadn't seen you in a long time. Where you been? We've heard you had some trouble. How you doing? God's good to me. He's blessed me. If the Lord allows things to come our way, folks, He's using it for our eternal good. And to help promote His kingdom while we're here. To do the things that we can to help to be enlarged. Let the Lord use those things. If He sends affliction your way, if He sends whatever distress it might be, in my distress, Lord, You enlarged me. Help us, Lord, to be enlarged. Instead of saying, I am tired of being in this dungeon. And I just mully grubs. Always in the mully grubs. We're not going to be able to help anybody feel any better about their circumstances if we are in the mully grubs. If we're constantly down and a frown on our face and we can't ever turn up the corners of our mouths, there's no way we're going to be able to brighten the corner where we are like that. I know that distress comes, and I know, folks, that there's times whenever we're in trouble and we have to retreat to a corner and say, help me, God. I don't know what else to say except, help me. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't even have words to say? I'm thankful that the Spirit has a language to commune with God when we can't say words. He's able. He's capable. In my distress, You have enlarged me. You pray for me. I want to be enlarged. I'm not asking for distress. But I want to be enlarged for the Lord. I want to be enlarged for God. And I want You to be enlarged for God. Amen. All right, Brother Larry referenced Joseph having two sons while he was there. One of those sons was named Ephraim. That name means, Thou hast made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Thou hast made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Praise the Lord. Exodus 13, verse 19, Moses took the bone. Well, 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness, the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. You shall carry up my bones hence away. My bones away hence with you.